Now, today's message is called The Sound of Music. Now, when you hear that, what's the first thing that kind of pops into your mind? The hills are alive. Okay, I knew I had to get that out of your system. And we got that over with. Okay, now we can move on. Okay. So, you know, for 30 years, let's not age myself any more than what I already am. For over 30 years, I've experienced in some churches what some might call a sour note. A sour note such as in music. We very rarely hear Cheryl give us a sour note. She's very professional and she's anointed. But again, I've experienced what I would call a sour note in some congregations. And what I'm talking about this morning is the changing of the style of music in some congregations. And you go, ooh, this might get deep. Just bear with me, okay? Because when there's a change in music when it regards or comes to praise and worship, it can cause conflict. It can cause strife. We're going to touch on that a little bit this morning, but I want to more touch on the fact that music is a gift and God has a reason, and we're going to share those reasons this morning for that music gift that God has given us. So again, some churches, church members, miss the lost hymns. You know, they're into more contemporary, and they've shut the door to hymns, okay? On the other side of that aisle is a generation that seems to thrive. I mean, the younger people, or, you know, people that just came to the Lord, maybe they're still, in, you know, in their 50s, 60s, but they thrive on the new songs, and they love the volume up there cranking, and they also like the repetitive lyrics. Now, I remember a couple years ago, I had some friends of mine, Drew and her daughters, they came and sang and played, and they do not like, I mean, they've definitely made mention that they don't care for the repetitious. They love the hymns, and they're very good, they're very professional, they're very anointed at what they do. And the first thing I want to say is, this congregation does not have an issue with that at all. You have no issues with it. I'm not bringing this up today because I think that you need to hear this because there is a conflict. There is certainly not a conflict here in this congregation at all. You people have such a love for the Lord that I think a rapper could come in here and do an hour of rapping. Mary's back there going, no. But maybe you have a... What I'm saying is you would allow it because that's the heart of God that you have inside of you. So with that, but over the years, I've been on both sides of this fence. On one side, again, is the aisle of the old hymns. And then on the other side is the music that the young people enjoy. And regardless of whether we sing songs with a piano or whether we sing songs with the synthesizer or recorded music, which we've done that here, and I've done it in the past in other churches because we didn't have, music or, you know, someone to play, or a live orchestra. And the first thing when I read that or think about that live orchestra, I think of the Crystal Cathedral where they have the big bands, you know, the big orchestra playing for a special for songs and for their praise and worship. Everyone, though, pay attention, everyone loses if the reputation of Christ is damaged because of our indifferences when it comes to praise and worship songs during service, okay? If we allow stress or division to step in, that automatically dead stops the anointing of God in a service, right there and there. If I started out with a real fast song and you didn't care for it, give it a chance, because what you're doing is, I don't like that, I'm leaving. When you do that, you stop the anointing of God, and that's certainly not something that we want to do, is stop the anointing of God. So the scripture makes it clear that God himself has given us music. We all know that for a number of important reasons. So we're going to talk about those reasons this morning. Number one, the gift of music is a way of teaching one another. Okay? The largest book in the Bible shows the value that God puts on music. And that largest book is Psalms. And it was given to help us. The book of Psalms has got songs in there. How many songs have been written from these psalms that are in the Bible. Hundreds and thousands of songs have been written out of that book of Psalms. So, but through that, it helps us to express, it teaches us to express worship through the sound of music. That's one thing about it that it teaches us. But also, in the New Testament, the Psalms are also a part of musical strategy. You say strategy? Well, yeah, strategy to teach the Word of God. Here's a good example of that. When we have Kids Club, we're teaching the kids all the different 66 books of the Bible. We use a song. We use music. And they pick it up like that. They pick it up faster than I picked it up. I mean, they just do a great job. And you know, they're a little frustrated at first, the first two or three times. But then after a while, they get it. But let me tell you, when the tempo, there's times when they have to do it, we pick up the tempo of it a little faster. And when they're singing Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and, you know, they're trying to get all these long titles to these books in, but they have fun doing it. So it's a strategy. Music can be used as a tool to teach the Word of God, in other words. So, and the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 3:16, "Let the Word of Christ dwell within you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, with hymns, and spiritual songs." So we're to use these words that are in the book of Psalms, we're to use these words to speak over others' lives. We're to use these words to praise and to worship our God, our Creator, the one that allows every morning for our mercies to be renewed. We are using these words to a God who is faithful, 24/7. So it goes on, singing with grace in our hearts. So when we sing, we're more than likely singing from our hearts. It's not from up here. We're singing from in here. That's where the music comes from in here, from our spirits, from our hearts. It's not from up here. Now think about this when it comes to a good example of that. Certainly Miriam, who is Aaron's sister, she sang to the Lord. She sang and she danced and she showed thanks, you know, for the grace that God gave. Why? When did she sing? She sang when the horse and rider were hurled into the sea. When they crossed the Red Sea, she got her tambourines out, and the other women also got their tambourines out, and they danced and they sang before the Lord, thanking him for his grace, for his mercy, that they were able to escape the enemy, but that he also got rid of the enemy. They were sucked up by the sea. So that's a time to praise, using music to praise and to thank the Lord. So number two, the gift of music is a way of expressing a spirit-filled heart. So Paul calls, Paul also called for the use of music as he taught fellow believers how to live a life-filled with the Spirit of Christ. So in Ephesians 5:17-21, "Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, which means like cheapening your life. Don't cheapen your life by, you know, indulging in drink. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all of the things that God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in fear of God." So that last part, submitting one to another, you might not feel comfortable maybe with a song that somebody sang. I remember, I'm not going to mention any names certainly, but I remember doing in a church service, and this guy could play the guitar. I mean, he could really play the guitar. But what he played, the song that he played, and it was a Christian song, but I didn't like it. But it doesn't matter what I like. What he was doing was it unto the Lord. And he had a gift to play the guitar, and it was electric guitar. Maybe that's what it was. I didn't like the electric guitar. Maybe that's what it was. I'm more used to acoustic guitars when it comes to church service. Now, Dave, when he plays, I love when he plays because he's it's specific. It's fine-tuned, and you can know that when he plays, his heart is in it, man. His heart is definitely in it, and when he played for us last year, it was such a blessing. And the kids, they loved it. They wanted to touch the guitar, and they, you know, they wanted him to keep coming and playing. So you can tell, you know, and maybe that's part of the reason I didn't care for, you know, the way this other individual played. Maybe his heart wasn't in it. Maybe it was, he was up there for show. I don't know, but I didn't have any peace with it. But that's near, you know, here or there, because he was up there. It's between him and God. It's not between him, me, and God. It's between him and God. So, number three, the gift of music is a way of showing our love for one another. In all Scripture, there is a rhythm, there is a harmony that comes with the principle of love. So when we show love, there's going to be a harmony, there's going to be a peace, there's going to be a rhythm, there's going to be a comfortableness, there's going to be a connection, because what we're doing is showing love. So when we can be sure that the Spirit-filled expression, we're allowing that Spirit-filled expression of music and that Spirit-filled response of music, we're allowing it to for us to be comfortable. That person that steps out for the first time and comes up here and sings a solo or whatever, they feel comfortable because we're accepting the gift that they have. That for them to come up here and do this, especially for the first time. I remember the first time I did it. Thank goodness it was in a Catholic church and I was in the back where nobody could see me. And I was facing, people were facing that way. But what that happened was when I started singing from the back and nobody was watching me, it helped me build that boldness and confidence. But for someone who gets up in front of somebody that's looking at you, you know it's got to be a thing of God. That it's not out of pride or out of self, but it's out of the ministry that God's given them. So we have to be sensitive to the concerns of others and their desire to share their gift, their musical gift. So I have been blessed over the past couple of decades as I've watched members of our parents. Now, some of you are going to relate to this, and I'm not talking about you as parents. I'm talking about your parents. And your grandparents. That's what I'm talking about. So get your eyes focused on that right now. That decades ago, when your parents or, you know, grandparents went to service and you went, and yet that generation and the generation before them allowed the gospel music to come in when they were so used to the old, old hymns. They allowed the newer styles of Christian music to come in. Now you say, well, you know, I'm used to, I was raised in the hymns, but now think about it. Here we go. 1960s and the 1970s. How old were most of you? Think about it. You were probably in your 20s or, you know, maybe early 30s, right? 1960s, 1970s. Okay, here we go. Pat Boone. Pat Boone started then. How many of us know Pat Boone? Raise your hand. Okay, everybody, he did Christian music. He sang hymns. Okay, here's another one. Debbie Boone. Most of you remember Debbie Boone. I'm trying to think. I should have pulled it up on Google, the song that she made popular, and it was a Christian song. I meant,
You Light Up My Life.
Is that what it is? Okay, all right. Thank you. Good. I didn't know it was quiz time, but we will go there. How about Glenn Campbell? Country? Everybody thinks, what, do you remember a song that he did, a Christian song that he did? Anybody? But he was good. I mean, he used his acoustic guitar. And did he do electric, Dave?
Occasionally.
Okay. So, anyway, Steve Green. Anybody remember Steve Green? Some of you do. I was hoping a few of you would. He was usually on the Billy Graham Crusades, wasn't he? And, of course, he did travel throughout the United States. Did you have one that you thought of, Caroline? She's got a smile on her face. Something's lit her up over here. You want to share or want to leave it alone?
Well, Steve Green was with the Imperials, wasn't he?
Yes, I was getting there. Okay, yes.
I interpreted a concert for Steve Green in the mid-80s.
Okay.
I interpreted for the deaf.
Okay.
And I don't listen to that music. Okay, I'm an old fart. and I'm not even 20 yet when I'm interpreting for this concert. And I went out and I bought, Steve Green had two CDs out that weren't Imperial. And I listened to these and I learned them. And the guy came and he sang two of his own songs and all Imperial songs. I had a clue what he was saying. I couldn't understand the lyrics. Terrible job of interpreting.
Well, that was my next one, the Imperials.
Oh, Buddha.
Oh, Buddha, okay. All right, so Imperials would be another one. How many of us remember the Imperials? I remember them doing more secular music, but apparently they have done some Christian music. Here's the one I know some of you are, well, probably 90% of you, the Gaithers. Gaithers. Amy Grant, she did country. Would you say Gaithers are more gospel? They were more gospel, right? Would you say gospel country or just gospel?
Gospel.
Just more gospel. Okay. How about B.J. Thomas? Anybody? Okay. So I bring all these names up to make you understand something. Is that at that time, they were considered a new era. They brought in a new style of Christian music. Think about our parents and our grandparents, how they had to adjust to that. Think about that. And yeah, maybe we didn't have it in the church services, but I remember that I had a wedding that I was going to sing for in Streeter. And they moved up the rehearsal time an hour ahead. So by the time I got to rehearsal, rehearsal was over. And the bride said to me, "Don't worry about it. We'll tell you what you're supposed to do." And at that time, that new Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, who art in heaven," that new rock and roll type thing, they said, the bride told me that I could do that song for that wedding. I started singing it, and that priest stopped me right smack in the middle of it. Would not allow me to finish that song. I was so embarrassed for the bride and the groom, and yet I was flustered and I was furious because I was embarrassed. Like I didn't know my stuff. So I did ask somebody later, and they said, well, they asked him, and he really didn't give her an answer one way or the other, the priest, whether you could or you couldn't. But again, he stopped me right smack in the middle of the song and would not let me finish it. So, you know, that's a good example of conflict and stress and strife and division, okay? And it's sad that it had to take place at a joyful occasion, right? So, as I gave you the examples of these Christian contemporary singers that sang with the talent that was God-given, keep that in mind, that it was a God-given talent that these people have been given to glorify God. And I'm sure that our parents, again, and our grandparents, who were used to the old hymns, had a hard time adjusting to that new wave of Christian music. So, I watched over the decades how these Christian men and women who would have preferred singing more familiar hymns graciously tolerated the songs for the youth so that they could come in connecting and start their journey with Christ. I know it was their spiritual maturity. Think about that. It was the grandparents and the parents' spiritual maturity, that deep love for their children and their grandchildren, that made them willing to put up with music and volume that literally gritted at their nerves. But yet they did it sheerly out of love. Sheerly out of love. I could see that nothing more important, that there was nothing more important for these parents and for these grandparents than to see their children, their grandchildren, accept Christ at any cost. Okay? Here's a good example of that. We've seen it over the decades with Billy Graham. How many times did he open up his crusades with George Beverly Shea singing a hymn that we were probably all familiar with? But then as the time went on, as decades went on, what did he do? He started doing specials. He would have special speakers come in, or singers come in. Here are some of them. The Gaithers sang for his group, or for his crusades. Steve Green, Johnny Cash, Michael W. Smith, Stephen Curtis Chapman, and Evie, E-V-I-E, Tornquist. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but when you hear her sing, she's like an angel when you hear her sing. And she's written so many songs. You don't hear her today much, But I actually last night, most of the afternoon yesterday, reminisced and went through a lot of her songs, and Keith Green as well. Keith Green, I thought he was related to Steve Green, but apparently he's not. But Keith Green played the piano, and he sang a lot, wrote a lot of his own music. But he had the afro going on, and he had the printed loud shirt and the big bells and, you know, the beard and the mustache going on. But man, could he play. And when he would play, you could feel the anointing of God. So we have to realize that we can't go by what's on the outward appearance that we might not like. Because the gift that God has in those people, that's what counts. Amen? So, the thing is that God does this. God had Billy Graham do this to help the youth to connect to Christ through music that, you know, we possibly wouldn't enjoy or relate to. And as I prepared this message this week, I went through some of those many videos that Billy Graham had on his crusades. And as they were showing little clips of the people that attended, if you've never noticed it, when you listen or watch one of his crusades, I want you to pay attention to this. Look at the people that attended. More than 50%, I would say more than 75% of the people that were attending were young people. Think about that. There was a lot of young people in attendance. Why? Yeah, his messages were awesome. Absolutely. The anointing of God was certainly there. But what drew them in the first place? Maybe listening to a Christian song that they heard on the radio. Or maybe somebody played. Or, you know, Johnny Cash is going to sing at the crusade? You know, somebody, you know, that might have been the only Jesus some of them would have ever seen, is seeing Johnny Cash actually go to a crusade. We know Johnny Cash's history. We know that Johnny Cash went through, whatever Johnny Cash wanted and whatever he wanted to do, he did it. He broke every rule in the book, but yet still, he showed God in the end, that at the end of his career, before his career ended, that he accepted Christ, and how many lives through that talent that he had, how many lives and lives that he changed. So because certainly there are times and occasions to adjust volume, you know, because we're not used to that loud, fast rhythm. We're blessed by this this gift of a peaceful and you know, tranquil, and you know, it just, you just feel comfortable in it. But we're not used to that. But there is a time and a place for that. And what teens have got to understand, or youth have to understand, is there is a time and an occasion to adjust volume and modify styles of music out of respect for those of us, or those our parents or grandparents, who brought us up and helped us with our walk in Christ. We need to show respect by taking pleasure in what they take pleasure in. We want them to be involved in what makes us excited. They want us to be involved in what they are excited in. Amen? So the expectation and maturity, however, should not be wasted on the young. It says in 1 Corinthians 13 that we put away childish thinking and learn the self-sacrificing meaning of love. So sometimes sacrificing an extra hymn that we would have enjoyed, instead having something a little bit more upbeat, a little bit more repetitious, but so sacrificing somewhat of what we're used to, I guess, to help someone else experience worship, a worship relationship with their Savior. Isn't that a small price for us to have to pay for somebody that you know will come back because, hey, that church really is cool. That church really, I can really relate to that church. Some of the music is really cool. Number four, the gift of music is a way of expressing a grateful heart. So several times in Psalms it talks about a new song. I was just sharing this song with Cheryl this morning. It goes, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For God is great and greatly to be praised. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. That's a Jewish song. And I can actually see, you know, them lift the hands up and going through the music. I can see my husband just loved this song. He just loved the song. And he'd get out in aisles and he would dance to it and just really get into it. But there's so many different styles of music and Christian music that's out there. That there's certainly, God knows that we're, I love the song that's out. It says, we're all different, but yet we're all the same. God made us different, so in order, because he did make us different, there's going to be different music for different people. Okay? So, God knew this. But the new song that we're talking about here this morning, listen, Psalms 40 verse 3. The reason is clear. New mercies every morning should call for an expression of new songs. You say, every morning I should come up with a new song? No, God will put one on your heart. God will give you one that he wants you to sing for the day. There was a man who got a message similar to this. He heard a message similar to this. I was reading what he was sharing. And he said that he wanted to make it a lifestyle. He wanted to make it part of his everyday life. So every morning he would get up and start his day, and he would fall back on an old hymn or a new song he might have heard, but he would start humming it or singing it to the Lord as he was going about his day. So yesterday, because I was, you know, getting ready for this message, I was going through Walmart going, and I was doing it all day long. So now I've got you hooked on that song, and you'll be going through the whole day going. But anyway, again, but that does not mean that God doesn't want us to sing the old hymns. Because old songs and psalms can be wonderful ways of renewing our appreciation of what the Lord has done in our lives. The thing here this morning is this, that it's a heart attitude in this issue of music and of praise and worship. Our Lord wants songs in our hearts to be an ongoing way of life, just like I shared about this man. The point is not only what happens in our church services, okay, but also is a silent melody that we have in our heart that runs through our hearts in the course of our day, in the course of our week. The music God calls for is not an end in itself, but it's rather a means of helping us to express to one another and to God the wonders of what he has done for us and the wonder of who he is. Songs of the heart are an important means of helping us to realize that our God is always far better and always far closer than we realize. So when we sing unto the Lord, we'll experience that he is so much closer to us than we realize, and that he has so much more than we could ever comprehend. Amen? So let's try this morning. We're going to do this. And if you want to spread yourselves a little bit, I want you to think of, right now, I want you to think of a hymn, your favorite song right now. I'll give you a second. You got one in your mind? Okay. I want you to hum that to yourself. Hum it to yourself right now. And if somebody hears it, you keep it down low, go. I can hear some of you. Come on. Some of you aren't. I want you to hum one that's your favorite. Okay, so I ask you this morning. What makes you pick that song? What made you pick that particular hymn, that particular Christian song this morning, your favorite one? Why? It's because it's a personal moment with you and God. It's something personal to you. When Dave came and asked Cheryl to play this one, it was something personal about that, wasn't it, Dave? So the point being is this, when we can connect in a personal way to a favorite hymn, a favorite Christian song, and we can connect to God, our Creator, to Jesus, our Savior, and to the presence of the Holy Spirit, what do you think happens then? That opens the doors of opportunity for God to flow through us. When I'm going through Walmart yesterday and I'm just going through it with that song, you know, if I must say, saying, "Hi, how are you today? Did you get any effects from the rain yesterday?" You know, I'm talking to people I've never. But what it did is it put me in a frame of mind that I wouldn't have been probably otherwise. So it's a thing that we need to start doing in the morning when we get up, when we start our day. Think about, you know, and you say, "Well, I really don't have a favorite hymn." Well, get the YouTube out and start pulling up some. Find one that really ministers to you. Because it's going to change you. It's going to give you a deeper and a more connective relationship with our God. So be it a music gift of hymns, of gospel, of contemporary, and yes, even rap. If it helps a lost soul, people, if it helps a lost soul, church, to connect with the Savior, who are we to stand in the way? Who are we to stand in God's way? If God is going to bring them to this ministry, and they have a ministry that doesn't, it's not what we're used to, let's give them a chance. Now I said, "Lord, why did you give this message to me?" And then it dawned on me. He said, "They're coming. The youth are coming. And I want my people to be ready. Do you hear me?" The anointing just hit this place just now. The youth are coming. The young people are coming here. And we have to be ready to receive them. And I know all of you have got a heart for that. And I know that you're ready. Amen. Now, with that being said, my son texted me last night. And he said, "Mom, what's your message today?" And I gave him a little overview of the message. This is what he sent me this morning. "About your service message, I can relate because our church rocks," talking about the church that he goes to down there, "rocks out with three songs. It's like a concert. You've experienced it. Cassie, his wife, and I were completely overwhelmed and weren't sure how we felt about it." Now see, he's now 30. So, you know, this is another younger generation below him. So they're blaring out with, loud music and, you know, it's fast music. And he goes, "Cass and I were completely overwhelmed and weren't sure how we felt about it. I grew up with a more traditional praise and worship with you and Dad. So it took a bit of getting used to. But I started noticing that once I got more familiar with the songs, I could participate. That when something clicked, once he got to where he could relate to it, it clicked. I would get this overwhelming joy." Now see, he's talking about, he's the generation above this music. And he says, "I would get this overwhelming joy." Do you know how much, when I hear this, when I read this about my son, and how he struggled with his walk with the Lord to listen to this morning, that even though when we bring our children up in the ways of the Lord, God says that when they grow older, they shall not depart from it. Don't be discouraged by what you see them do, by what you hear them say. To just trust that the Lord will make a way. And that's what God showed me this morning when he sent me this message. He says, "I would get this overwhelming joy like I could cry with happiness." How many of us want our children and our grandchildren to experience that? But listen, when people come in here, there might not be your children, they might not be your grandchildren, they might not be a relative of yours, but they are going to be a grandchild or a child to someone. And you're going to be answering their prayers when you allow them to come in here and share the gift that God's put on their heart to walk out what God's given them to do, a God-given gift to share. He goes on, "Like I could cry with happiness. I knew it had to be the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was familiarity, but it's more likely it was just my unfettered participation." The there's going to be times when we're going to have people up here that the last thing, I've literally went to a church where I've seen older adults so distraught over the music that was played up in front that they literally had their arms like this and, whew, I ain't going to do that. But here's a 30-year-old man who's used to his generation of music, and yet he says at the end, it was just my unfettered participation. So what he's saying is, once I participated in what was going on in my surroundings, I became a part of that move of the Holy Spirit. So if you don't participate when a new person comes up here and shares the gospel or shares their gift, you're the one that loses out. Didn't he just say, I got to where when I sang these songs with them, I had this overwhelming joy that I could cry? Don't we all want to get to that? Don't we all want to experience that this morning in every day of our lives? I leave this message with you, and I want you to ponder over it. I want you to pray about it. But no, they are coming. That youth, those young people are coming, and we need to be ready. Amen? Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of music. Father, give us wisdom to love one another, so together as parents, as grandparents, as children, as grandchildren, we can give this compassion in those times when we need to cross those rough waters of changing what we're accustomed to as we mature in our walk with you, Lord. Don't let us turn your gift of music into a dividing line. Give us a song in our heart, even when the music around us seems too fast or too slow or too new or too old. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.